سورة الممتحنة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who believe, take not my enemies and your enemies as friends, showing affection towards them while they have disbelieved in what has come to you of the truth, and have driven out the messenger, and yourselves because you believe in Allah your Lord. If you have come forth to strive in my cause and to seek my good pleasure, you show friendship to them in secret while I am all aware of what you conceal and what you reveal. And whosoever of you does that, then indeed he has gone far astray from the straight path. Now this ayat has a story behind it, that what happened was that after the Meccans violated the pact of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet ﷺ decided to march against Makkah. Now he kept this a great secret and very few of the companions were in the know. What happened was that this former slave woman came to Medina seeking help from the Prophet ﷺ, and she was a pagan despite which he helped her. And one of the companions called Hazrat Khatib gave her a letter addressed to the Meccan chiefs in which he had explained that the Muslims were going to come and march against Makkah, and he gave her some money for doing so. The woman had scarcely left Medina when revelation came and the Prophet ﷺ was apprised of what had happened. So he sent his companions after her. The woman reluctantly gave up the letter and they came by. Hazrat Khatib was called and asked, why did you do this? Now anyone else would have just had his head chopped off, as Hazrat Umar advocated, for treachery. But the Prophet ﷺ's justice was such, he said no, he took part in Badr, and Allah has forgiven all those who took part in Badr. And he was asked, what is your story? And Hazrat Khatib wept and said that I have children and I have weak family members living in Makkah, and no one else is there to help them. So I hope that if I were to help the Meccans, maybe they would have protected my family. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he has spoken the truth and he was forgiven and given another chance. Whereupon Hazrat Umar wept and sought Allah's forgiveness. Now in this surah we find Allah is warning us that we have to choose between Allah and our relatives if our relatives are enemies of Allah. And we should not befriend the non-Muslims and make them our close friends and confidants. Should they gain the upper hand over you, they would behave to you as enemies and stretch forth their hands and their tongues against you with evil, and they desire that you should disbelieve. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ مَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Neither your relatives nor your children will help you on the day of judgment. He will judge between you. Allah alone is Malik Yawm al-Din, and Allah is the all-seer of what you do. But كَانَتْ لَكُمْ مُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ. Indeed, there has been a beautiful example for you in Ibrahim alayhi salam and those with him when they said to their people, indeed we are free from you and whatever you worship besides Allah. We have rejected you and there has started between us and you hostility and hatred forever until you believe in Allah alone. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who gave up everything for Allah, his father wanted him to disobey Allah and disbelieve in Allah, he left his father. His clan wanted him to do that, he left his clan. The king wanted him to disbelieve in Allah, he left the king. And that's why Allah says of him, اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. Accept the saying of Ibrahim to his father, indeed I will ask forgiveness from Allah for you, but I have no power to do anything for you before Allah. O our Lord, in you alone we put our trust, and to you we turn in repentance, and to you is our final return. And we learn that a Muslim is not allowed to do istighfar for those non-Muslim relatives of his who have passed away, because the time to pray for them is while they are still alive. That's the time you try and bring them towards faith and guidance. And look at this beautiful dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. O our Lord, do not make us a trial for the disbelievers. وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا. And forgive us, O our Lord. The mu'min never neglects istighfar. Never does he rely upon his good deeds complacently. Forgive us, O our Lord. Indeed, you, only you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Indeed, there has been in them a beautiful example for you to follow. For those who look forward to Allah and the last day, and whoever turns away, then indeed Allah is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise. Allah does not need us or our ibadah. Perhaps Allah will make friendship between you and those whom you hold as enemies. And Allah has power, and Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. Allah does not forbid you to deal justly and kindly with those who did not fight against you on account of religion, nor drove you out of your homes. Some people perceive Islam as a biased, intolerant religion. Yes, it's so unfair that you can't be close friends with non-Muslims. But look at the words of the ayat. Allah says that if someone has not opposed you, someone's not an active enemy of Islam, then Allah doesn't say that you have to boycott them or you can't meet them. We are allowed to interact with them socially. We are allowed even to meet them on a social footing and on a business footing. Because Allah says, indeed Allah loves those who are just. We find on one occasion, Hazrat Asma's mother, and who is a disbeliever, came to Medina and she asked the Prophet ﷺ, can I meet her? And he said, yes, and you should be good to her. What then is forbidden? It is only as regards those who fought against you on account of religion. When a loved one is opposing Islam, when a loved one is trying to stop you from obeying Allah, and have driven you out of your homes, and helped to drive you out, Allah forbids you to befriend them. Why? Because obviously they're open enemies of Islam. And whoever befriends them, then such are the wrongdoers. O you who believe, when believing women come to you as emigrants, examine them. Because then what happened was that women started coming for other purposes, to deceive the Muslims. Examine them. Allah knows best as to their faith. Then if you ascertain that they are true believers, do not send them back to the disbelievers. They are not lawful for the disbelievers, nor are the disbelievers lawful for them. But give the disbelievers that amount of money which they have spent as their mehr to them. And there will be no sin on you to marry them if you have paid their mehr to them. Likewise, hold not the disbelieving women as wives and ask for the return of that which you have spent as mehr, and let the disbelievers ask that for which they have spent. Now we find here Allah's emphasis on a Muslim woman's right to receive mehr. That even in this situation, Allah says it's not enough that a woman comes to Medina and you help her out by marrying her and you don't think that you've conferred a great favor upon her. You have to grant her her right of mehr. This is the judgment of Allah. He judges between you, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And if any of your wives have gone from you to the disbelievers and you asked them to return back your mehr, but they refused, then you went out for a military expedition against them and gained booty, then pay from that booty to those whose wives have gone, the equivalent of what they had spent on their mehr. Wattaqullah, and be conscious of Allah in whom you have iman. In other words, iman is that you fulfill the rights of those around you. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when believing women come to you to give you the pledge that they will not associate anything in worship with Allah, that they will not steal, that they will not commit adultery, that they will not kill their children, that they will not utter slander, intentionally forging falsehood, and that they will not disobey you in all that Islam ordains, then accept their pledge. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُنَّ اللَّهُ, and ask Allah to forgive them. Indeed Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. We can see how important Allah regards the education of women as regarding Islam. The Prophet ﷺ too had fixed days whereby he would be educating just the women about Islam. And we find that he was very concerned that Muslim women should rise above, you know, just the daily household chores and just serving their husband or just wasting their lives in gossip, etc. So that they should rise above themselves and serve Islam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, take not as friends the people who incurred the wrath of Allah. Surely they have despaired of the hereafter, just as the disbelievers have despaired of those buried in the graves.